Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Jeff from Texas, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles and More podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 377 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and joining us is Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media. We are continuing our discussion with AJ Wolf of the Disney Food Blog. So without further ado, let's get back to the discussion. You know, one of the reasons that I like to own a Tables in Wonderland card is that it makes it easier for me to make an ADR for a signature level restaurant, because I know that I'm not going to be paying full price, so it's going to make the pain of the check a little bit better. But that's one of the reasons why I like it, and I think it's something that a lot of people should consider. And I'm glad we had this discussion, because it is a great transition to this website called the Disney Food Blog. And I want AJ to talk a little bit about what's been going on with the Disney Food Blog. What should we be looking forward to in the next several months?
Oh, great. Thanks. Well, Disney Food Blog started in 2009, and it was the original website focused only on food in Disney parks and resorts and cruise ships. And we do cover Disney World, Disneyland, cruise ships, and even the international parks a little bit. I haven't gotten over there as much as I wanted to. But we do reviews, we do full menu reviews, and we have all kinds of great information, and we do lots of news. So if we spot, you know, we're in the parks every single day. So if we spot something new, we want to let you know about it. We give you the updates on free dining, and all of those details that are coming out about food, because people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on food, and sometimes it's even a higher amount than what they spend on their hotel when they're in the parks. So we want to make sure you know what you're getting. We want to show you pictures ahead of time of what you're really going to be served, so you can make good decisions for your family no matter what their needs are.
Yeah, I think everybody who is always there, we were during WDW today, we constantly kept on, and when we did our live shows, when do you think free dining is going to happen? When do you think free go to AJ's website, because she's going to know before us, you know?
Seriously, hate to get back to this, but do you have training for the people in the parks for those pictures? Because I'm even looking at the website now, it's just making, like, the angle, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, the chocolate honey baklava's got me going.
Oh my God, you guys are, you're honestly gifted at this.
Well, so, I'll tell you what,
tips?
Yeah, I mean, none of our photographers have training. I wanted to make sure the site wasn't, like, super filtered altered, photoshopped pictures of food. You know, it's real food. It's right. What you're served. That's what you're going to get when you go as a normal, regular person to Disney and order the food. So none of us have, you know, a special fisheye training. Mm-hmm. We just go with, you know, we use DSLRs, but honestly, sometimes we just use our iPhones. But I think having an eye for photography, an eye for food photography specifically, because when you get served your food, you have about 2 minutes to get those pictures so that you can get a good, you know, taste review of it as well. And it really just depends on if you have a good eye. And of course, you learn more as you go through it. If you look at some of the pictures from my 2009 posts, they're god-awful. They're horrible. So you learn as you go. But, you know, I haven't taken any special training, but I've been very lucky to find folks who are on the ground in Orlando and in Anaheim who just know instinctively how to make, you know, the food look the best it can.
All right, so we could keep you on this podcast for 4 hours, but I got to ask you this question. If you go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, fill in this blank, I have to have, every time I go, I have to have what? What is your, I know it might not be for everybody, but what is your personal, like, oh, I don't feel like I'm here unless I've had a...
What I will spend money on, even if I'm not going to put it on the blog.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Well, when I'm in Disneyland, I have to go to Cafe Orleans and get the Monte Cristo and the pommes frites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is my... And the Mickey beignets. That is my go-to meal in Disneyland. And, you know, I was in Disneyland a couple weeks ago. I was speaking at their Food and Wine Festival, the California Adventure Food and Wine Festival, and I was there for about 24 hours, and I didn't get my fix.
No!
So I'm gonna go back to Disneyland in June, and I'm gonna get that.
Hope it's not June 26th.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's earlier in June.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll be back there to get that. And in Disney World, you know, it changes up so much because they keep taking stuff off the menu that I really liked. But I do, I like to go to France to Les Halles or Les Halles, however you want to say it, if you're French. And I get the frangipane, frangipane, which is an almond pastry, and it looks so bland. And if you guys know the blog, you know that if the only way I'll eat it is if it has a ton of butter or a ton of frosting on it. So it looks so bland. It's just this pastry, but oh, it's so amazing. It has such a richness of flavor. So I always kind of have to go sneak one of those while I'm in town.
I have a follow up. Sorry, Mike, you don't get to ask another question. What about your son? Does he have any food likes so far? I know he's not three yet.
He's
but,
16, I thought, no?
Yeah.
Is he already taking pictures?
No, he's
you put
not.
Him to work.
Well, he's like me. I'm actually a super picky eater. And so this blog has been really good for me because it's forced me to get out of my comfort zone a little bit. Wow. But he's like me. He's a pickier eater. So chances are it needs to kind of be potato chips or chicken nuggets. But, you know, he really enjoyed Sanaa. We went to Sanaa and he loves that place because he can look at he can look out at the animals and they have some really really healthy and delicious choices for kids there. My kid is an aberration in that he loves eating vegetables. He really likes vegetables. And so they've got some interesting veggies to try there and they have some fun kids desserts. And so he really digs on that restaurant.
Cool.
You know,
okay, Mike, now you can talk.
I got a story, and we can blame AJ for this. So,
oh, no.
So you mentioned Monte Cristo sandwich out in California Adventure, I think it was, or Disneyland.
It's in Disneyland, yeah.
You're right, mm-hmm. Disneyland. That's right. So back in the 70s, when I first went to Walt Disney World in 75, 76, one of the things that I loved was a Monte Cristo sandwich that I got at Columbia Harbor House.
Yes.
Back then, it was just Walt Disney World was the Magic Kingdom, and that was it.
Yes.
Well, between 1976 and 1990, a whole bunch of things happened, and I couldn't get down there. So I started planning to go down in 1990, and so I started planning in 88 and 89, going to take the family, the whole thing. And kept on thinking, Monte Cristo, Monte Cristo, Monte Cristo, Monte Cristo. Get down there in July of 1990.
Like every time you put little pennies in your bank.
Things were falling into place. I was coaching a Little League team. We won the Little League Championship. I was all excited. We're going to drive down, get to Walt Disney World. Checked into. I got there so early, I had to find a place to stay. So we stayed at the Contemporary for,
you
I think
could
it was.
Just roll
it,
up and
you ready for this? Stayed at the Contemporary for about $150 for the night. Wow. And got into Disney, got into the Magic Kingdom, all excited, and went up to Columbia Harbor House. And I went up, and I didn't even look at the menus that were listed. And I went up and I said, and she said, "What would you like?" The whoever was at the register. And I looked up and I didn't see Monte Cristo. Oh. And I
all
said,
"All of our listeners are crying."
And
now.
I had been checking, you know.
Pull over to the side of the road.
Deb's Disney Digest, and you know she had the menus on, but because there was no Disney food blog, I don't even think AJ was born by then. But anyways, so I said to the cashier, "Don't you have Monte Cristo sandwiches?" And she looked at me and she said, "Yeah, we stopped offering them 2 weeks ago." So for 13 years and 50 weeks, they had it waiting for me. I was there 2 weeks too late. So every time I hear Monte Cristo, I won't even, you know, see the movie. Because it reminds me of that pain. And so to this day, so I forgot I had them out there.
Wow.
I got to go out
so
there.
So now you're going
to. I should have bought one. Gee. Yeah. So anyways, that's my.
What'd you say, Eve?
No, I said, you know, this whole time, I mean, the whole 80s, they had them, and you just...
Well, yeah, just, things like buying houses was, you know...
Little
some, yeah, so it was just...
Well, those little things.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
I want to know, favorite dessert.
Oh, gosh, favorite dessert. Oh, heavens, No Way Jose, probably.
Oh,
no,
my
wait,
God.
Nope, that's second favorite.
That's my
first favorite. Is my Ohana banana Foster bread pudding, which you can get now at Tambu Lounge. It is on the menu, so you don't have to go to Ohana to get it. But I love that stuff. Yeah. I can eat that whole thing. You don't need to bring extra bowls.
AJ and I, we're just soul siblings. AJ, I bet Disney Springs is keeping you hopping with all the new restaurants that are opening up down there.
Absolutely. It is gangbusters down there. I'm so glad because, man, you haven't been able to drive on that road for four years. God. So I'm glad that it's finally coming to an end. But
I just
so
like
many
going down there because of the smart garage, like as a tech geek. This is so cool. It tells you just where to park.
Yeah, except if some jerk is over the line.
Yeah.
That happened to me multiple times that there's one green light and somebody parked over the line and I can't use it.
Yeah, or the motorcycles. Mike, you have to tell Eve and AJ about what happened at Miramoto with the dessert. Did we talk about it on the podcast? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. No. So we went to Miramoto Asia twice over the course of the weekend of the Dark Side Star Wars races. And so we went there the first time, and I think both times, Michelle, you had the pad thai.
Yeah. Pad thai.
Very, very good. So, you know, you're there and you're talking to the waiters, and we thought, well, let's give the dessert menu. Usually it's either appetizer or dessert, but we didn't have appetizer. So we said, let's give a shot. So we asked the server there what his favorite dessert was, and I believe it was called the M&M Parfait.
Well, let's just start off saying, you know, if you were going to make salad for your whole family, the type of bowl you would use, that was the type of bowl that this was in. In fact, AJ, I'll send you a picture if you don't already have one from your staff, which you probably do. But this thing was so huge. It was just like completely overwhelming. It was gigantic. It was, and it had sort of, it had a lot of whipped cream. It had some sorbet in it, and it had Nutella chocolate balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had it?
Yes.
Oh my God, she's had everything.
Yes. Pretty good. Isn't it like astoundingly big?
It's epic. Yeah. You know, and Yeah. I have a companion story. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, that was it. Well,
I like ice cream. I thought it was going to be, it was mostly whipped cream and I don't know what those cakes were or whatever. And there was a little bit. So while it was brought to our table and Michelle and I looked at each other and said, well, maybe a couple of spoonfuls. And didn't want to get too full because we had all these races coming up and everything. We're trying to, you know, do whatever we can to.
We couldn't even see each other on this.
It was tough.
I had to like get up on my knees on the chair.
Yeah, we had to get a booster seat for Michelle. What was funny was that it turned out that there wasn't much ice cream in there.
You know,
it was a very expensive dessert. But
you had it?
No. I usually like fill up on like the appetizers in the main course. And then, like, I'll get coffee afterwards and, like, walk around and see if I'm still hungry. And usually I'll find my way to, like, ice cream or something. But I haven't had that.
I didn't like it. I'm not a big whipped cream fan. So it really didn't bother me. It was kind of funny. What did we have that night?
But AJ has a story about this dessert.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, AJ.
Not about this dessert, but about a close-by dessert. I had sort of the same experience over at the Boathouse where they have that monstrous – they call it – what do they call it? S'more? I don't even know. They call it s'mores or something. Or no, they call it Baked Alaska. They call it Baked Alaska. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I couldn't remember the name is because it's so not Baked Alaska that it's not even funny. But it's $40 for this dessert.
Oh my God.
And it's supposed to feed your whole family. I know. It's supposed to feed everybody at the table. And it comes with a steak knife, like a whopping giant steak knife to cut it. And it's basically, I mean, it looks impressive. Don't get me wrong, because it's probably about a foot and a half high, tall. But when you dig into it, it's Rocky Road ice cream with a bunch of like marshmallow fluff and whipped cream on top. And that's all it is. That's all the dessert is. And I was, and then some Hershey bars stuck into the whipped cream and the marshmallow. And I was just like, what a ripoff for $40.
I'm looking at it online now.
I'm going to go to the grocery store and grab a couple of pints of Rocky Road and some marshmallow fluff and pay like $10 and get the same dessert. So that was super annoying. So it's interesting that kind of both of these restaurants are doing here's a monstrous dessert that you're going to Instagram right now and everybody's going to want it, but it's super not worth the money.
No, the MM Parfait was $20, but you know, the Boathouse has another dessert that's $40. It's that Florida Sunshine cake. Yellow cake, orange flavored cream cheese icing, and toasted almonds.
So I know I'm just $40. Be a wet blanket and a nerd, but I'm a biologist and I really worry about everybody sharing all of this food together. So just be careful.
So I'm guessing, Michelle, you have not indulged in the kitchen sink at
No, no, I've watched my family do it, but no, when Mike and I shared our dessert, I stayed in my little area and let him stay. It was lucky it had its own zip code. So that was possible. But
you want to have a dessert? No, you can have whatever you want.
Oh, I can't wait till we go to dinner next time, Michelle.
Bring two spoons. Yeah.
Cannot wait to gross you out because I'm so the opposite. I'm like, whatever. It won't bring me down.
I'm not a germaphobe.
I have a 16-second rule, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's funny. We do too. Oh
my, not at Disney, though. Please.
Oh yeah, everywhere.
Oh my God.
That chocolate is gold.
So, AJ, can you tell us about your ebook?
Yeah, I actually have 7 ebooks. You can find them all at dfbstore.com. The biggest one is our 530-page, it just keeps getting bigger every year, DFB Guide to Walt Disney World Dining. And the goal of it is to help you plan your dining, you know, really, really quickly to help you, to walk you through the process to plan your dining quickly. It comes with planning worksheets and lots and lots and lots, you know, 30 plus years of tips and suggestions and budget suggestions and discount options and lots of pictures on every page. So lots of good information in there. And then, of course, we have books about the snacks in Disney World, specifically focused on the snacks in Disney World. We have a Food and Wine Festival book and a Disney World Holidays book. So you have a plethora to choose from at dfbstore.com.
Wow.
I'm looking at them all. My God.
And they're good too. You know, they're, you know, some ebooks, you look at them and you're kind of like, well, they just pretty much put their blog posts into an ebook and I just paid for that. I spend so much stinking time on these books every year and they're really good. Every time I go in and read them, I'm like, wow, this is really good information. And so, I'm a pretty modest person. So
if you don't
we live here and we use it as a reference.
Oh, cool.
Oh, thank you so much, Eve.
So yeah, and some people were like, no, we use this still. Like you can't possibly know. Well, you can, but the rest of us, no matter how many times we go to the park, can't possibly know everything you know. We're like, what's
which,
that? You
which
know
one
more
do
than
you have?
Know.
Which one do you have, Eve? Or which ones?
The regular annual one
okay.
that you get. And,
so,
go
ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying. You have more comprehensive information than Disney has.
Yeah,
so.
that's the goal, right? Because Disney doesn't put a lot of information up on their website. You know, they're getting better, but they're not going to tell you how to get the best deal or how you know what discounts to use. And we also will you know dictate to you here's where you find discounts on non-Disney owned restaurants and things like that. So there's lots of good information, and it is a whole team. You know, we got our whole team working on that thing. It's a year long process to put that thing together. It's huge.
So
money.
When you download it, is it for Kindle? Is it for iBooks?
It's a PDF.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can put it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Most people put it on their iPad or even their iPhone, although it's really hard to read because it's, you know, a 530-page book on your iPhone. But it's a click. You can look through the table of contents and click right to the page you want to read. So, you know, it's a great resource for planning, and people even use it while they're there.
That's cool.
I noticed 5 of the 8 books deal with snacks.
Yes.
I mean, I think we have to have AJ back on to talk about each of these different books. Clearly.
Definitely food and wine and holidays. Yes. I would love to come on and talk about food and wine and holidays.
Yes. Awesome.
And we will do that.
Yes.
All right. I'd love to.
I can't take my eyes off the stuff, the books. Interesting.
You need to go have that Monte Cristo. You need to go
I know.
Have
this
it
is like an unfulfilled now. Something. Start saving.
God. Yeah. I wish I had not.
Instagram, though. Oh God.
I wish I had thought about it when I was out there in January, but excuse to go out there, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sad for you. You know, your food sob story is definitely that is a genre that is out there. Your Disney food sob story.
No, that's true. AJ, there was another. There's another one I want to talk about.
It's a horror story. I don't know if I can take any more tonight, Mike.
There was a dessert that used to be offered at Ohana's at night, and it was called frozen snowball or something like that. It was a very creamy, round ice cream with some kind of sprinkles on it, and I remember having it Bob Selinger told me about it, who used to do the unofficial guide before Len started taking over that kingdom. It was called the coconut snowball. That's what it was, coconut snowball. Mm-hmm. It was delicious, coconut and the creamiest ice cream you could ever imagine. So then I went, like it was 2 years after that, I went and I ordered it again, and they said, no, we don't have it anymore. And I said, what? You don't have it? I was really upset. And there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And so I guess I had made so much of a big deal about it that the chef came out and he crouched down. He said, I can really make you one if you really want it. And I said, you know, thank you, but I don't want people to see that. And
well,
then,
you were really making a stink after that Monte Cristo.
I don't know what it was, but it was just, this was 2005, I think, or 2006, whatever. But my point is this, AJ, there are signature things out there that people get hooked up to. The beer, the cheddar cheese soup in Le Cellier.
Yeah.
Things like that. People just they hone in on those things, and sometimes their vacations are centered around things like that because it makes them remember really good times down there. So food is a big deal in Walt Disney World. It really
food
is.
Food is a big deal, and that's why I was surprised nobody was doing this blog. You know, by 2009, why was nobody already writing this? Because I think way back then, before food pictures and food mm-hmm. selfies became a thing. There was a stigma around, you know, I'm going to go to Disney World and my main goal is to eat at this restaurant. You know, people wouldn't say that and wouldn't talk about it. And so by starting this blog, it was like, hey, guess what? You know, you're just like me. And, you know, we're more concerned about making sure we get that, you know, coconut snowball than going on Space Mountain. So I think it's a really big deal for people, and they do focus, their memories are centered around these food items that they had. So
we go on and on. I can remember being there a couple of times with Fred Block and Newell and Annette and everything, and we all just kept on going to restaurants looking for mac and cheese variations. You know, yeah. it just keeps yep. going on and on and on. And Michelle, you and I have had the mac and cheese at Flying Fish.
Oh,
I have
yeah.
to rest my head because Flying Fish is not open right
I
now.
I hope that comes back, man. I don't know if Chef Keating is coming back to Flying Fish. I heard he was leaving Disney,
no.
so I'm hoping that Truffle Mac comes back.
Oh, yeah. Amanda Gonzalez, our MEI travel agent buddy, told us about that, and that is just... that's awesome.
We go on and on. Bread service, that's enough. We can go on and on. AJ,
exactly. Oh, I know.
It's just, you know, you were right, though. No one did it, but you grabbed the bull by the horns, and you've done a fantastic job with the Disney food blog. It's just an amazing resource, and you did it right, and that's why it's so successful, and that's why I'm there a lot. And Len, I know Len is there a lot, and well, obviously Eve is there a lot. So we thank you for coming
on.
And
Michelle's
on Instagram.
Totally, but now I'm going to buy one of those books.
So we definitely want to have you back just before Food and Wine, come on. The Food and Wine Festival, because we want your take on what's going to be there and what to let people know what's ahead. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys so much. I always love talking about food, and you know, Mike, that you and the WW Today guys, you know, I was a huge fan before I even knew what a website was. So thank you guys so much for all that you did. And thanks for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to come talk to you again.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And Eve, thank you for joining us in this food discussion as well.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you. And thank you, AJ.
So for AJ Wolf of the Disney Food Blog, please go see it. You won't be sorry. And for Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road, in the parks, and in the restaurants.
And with that Monte Cristo sandwich.
Oh, my God.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.